this is so far out of any kind of craziness. I don't sell weapons to Ukraine. He understands that I do not sell weapons to Ukraine, but to NATO countries, they feel full price. And how they are distributed, I have no idea. In light of that, how can he reconcile what his Secretary of State said in Senate testimony under oath?
We remain ready to play any role we can in that context of bringing a peace about, because we think the war in Ukraine, devastating war, has no military solution. It can only be solved through a diplomatic route, and it's been unfruitful. I would characterize it as the ongoing challenges. That said, let's be clear, we are not, to be fair and to be frank, we are not impartial mediators in that war. Okay, we don't provide weapons to Russia. We only provide weapons to Ukraine. We don't impose sanctions on Ukraine. We only impose sanctions on Russia. So we have clearly taken a side. We continue to sell weapons to Ukraine, by the way, through the Pearl Program, unimpeded by what's happened in the Middle East or anywhere else. And look, we'd love to see that come to a negotiated settlement. As of right now, the prospects don't look great.
He specifically and expressly said, we sell weapons to Ukraine through the Pearl Program. And President Trump here says, I do not sell weapons to Ukraine. I mean, that's why I say that this is just otherworldly kind of crazy talk. I mean, there's the video. It's out there. I'm not the only one who remembered him saying that just last month. And so everybody else is going to. So I don't understand. Okay, let's look at this from a different perspective. You're Vladimir Putin. You're Sergei Lavrov. How are you going to deal with the United States in trying to bring this war to an end?
Well, I think they've given up on diplomacy. Again, they hope that the Europeans will stop the blockade on diplomacy. Of course, if the Americans want to talk, they will talk. But their trust in a diplomatic path, I think that died after Anchorage when, the way the Russians presented, at least, is that the Americans came. They came with a proposal which implied some Russian concessions. It's unclear what those concessions were, but there was indications from Lavrov and others that they were willing to make some concessions, which were painful. From what I've heard, it entailed, not 100% on this, but what I've heard was that the Russians were willing to have a Ukraine which restores its neutrality, which was, again, the foundation of Istanbul, and in terms of the territorial conflict that has derived from it, they will be willing to accept Donbass. Well, they have to have all of Donbass, but for Kherson and Zaporizhia, they would freeze the front lines where they are. And this was, from what I heard, the American proposal. The Russians accepted it. And then the U.S. began to walk the whole thing back. And the Russians were left with the impression that the Americans didn't actually want to put an end to the war. They were merely in the process of outsourcing that war to the Europeans to make them pay for it and to make themselves frontline states, which, again, continuing the war could be seen as being in the strategic interest of the U.S. to the extent that it weakens Russia further. And especially now that the drones are being sent that allows NATO to target deep inside Russia, that it has a further ability to weaken Russia. And at the same time, the conflict between the Europeans and Russia only makes the European more dependent on the U.S. and more obedient as well. So this is the way they see it now. So, and they've been watching the diplomacy in Iran, which has been very deceptive all along. Further explanation is not required. So I think what they assume will happen now is more fraudulent diplomacy. So they will continue to seek territorial gain as a reassurance of a stable peace after this war. And
let me ask you this question here, because this is just dropped on us, so I'm processing even as we're talking. But putting myself in the adversarial role, how I would view this, Russia and Iran in the two conflicts there, to me, this is like, because of all kinds of things that have happened already, I think it's a given that no one trusts a word that we say. No one trusts a signature on any document, period. I mean, so I don't think that there's any belief in that. And to the extent that either of those two parties were willing to enter into any kind of diplomacy was only, all right, well, if we can put some kind of quid pro quo in here or get something up front, then maybe there's still some room to go down. Because if they provide something before we do something else, then maybe we can somehow get out. But when you see something like this and this direct contradiction with what the president and the secretary of state has said, and what is obvious here, to me, this would say to Russia, there's no point in talking to anything. If you're Iran, there's no point in talking to anything. We're just going to try and have to solve this militarily on the battlefield because they can't even be sane in what they're talking about. Do you see it differently?
No, I agree with that. Well, I could add an additional thing, though. That is, they know that this is fake, and surely Trump knows that the Russians know. But they probably assume that his main intended audience would be his domestic audience, because he promised them to get out of the Ukraine war, and he has made the Ukraine war a Trump war. That is, the U.S. is still deeply involved, and it's selling weapons. As Rubio said, they're pushing sanctions as hard as they can. The goal is to break Russia, but to make the Europeans pay the heavier load. So no. Again, it could be that they're simply thinking, well, this is meant for his domestic audience because he was supposed to be the peace president. That being said, I think this is also problematic for them because we need, not just in the U.S., in Europe as well, we need a more honest discussion about what we're doing. I mean, if you're in Europe, say that NATO's participating in the strikes on Russia, it's considered Russian propaganda, and you will be smeared and censored, and you will have some profound problems. But we're not accepting our own role in this. I mean, the U.S. public should know that the U.S. is still deeply involved in a war against Russia, something Tucker Carlson had a great segment on recently. And the reason why we need to know this is because we need to know the danger we're facing, because the Russians at this point see increased more and more escalation from NATO, more and more direct involvement by NATO. And also we're going to see in a few months, you're going to see the Ukrainian army beginning to struggle profoundly on the battlefield. And at that point, you're going to have NATO countries becoming panicked again in terms of trying to slow down the Russian advance. And then they might do something stupid, like escalating even further. So the main challenge now in Russia, the main thing causing a lot of concern, is how do we restore the deterrent? Because we allow the NATO to go too far. I mean, NATO countries can strike deep inside Russia. You can have NATO countries speaking openly about how would we need to bring the war to Russia. Let's build thousands of ballistic missiles and drones long range so we can strike deep into Russia. We'll hand them to Ukraine, pretend as if this is our Ukrainians launching them. I mean, this is what we're doing. And it's very dangerous. It's self-delusion. So the Russians need to restore their deterrence, which means they have to at some point strike back against NATO. We're going down a very dangerous path. 2026 is going to be extremely dangerous. And when you add the chaos in Iran, possible a huge economic crisis hitting later this year, there's going to be a lot of unpredictable behavior. So we should have some honest discussion about our own involvement in this war ever since 2014 against Russia. But we don't. And I think probably the Russians are a bit worried that Trump is feeding this delusional stuff to his own home audience as well.